Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of T-Bone Speaks. I'm your gracious host, Tarun Agarwal, better known as T-Bone. And today I have an important, but sometimes unbelievably boring topic for us today. And I guess the word really shouldn't be boring, but it should be more like head spinning, annoying, you know, just unbelievably just hard, but so important, so important. So I really need us to pay attention. I hope you gain something, you gain some insight from today. And what I really want you to do also is make sure you take the opportunity to go download the actual show transcript. All of our episodes are transcribed so that you can have a written version of that. And we do appreciate you taking the time to do that. Now, the truth is, and I guess I should take a moment to give myself a plug here. All of this podcast is done at no charge to you. Obviously, you can listen to it for free. But we make the effort to go above and beyond by having the podcast professionally edited and to have a transcription done so that you can have a PDF download of the episodes. And all of that is done, you know, quite honestly, out of my own pocket. And the way we're able to do that is, one, I luckily make enough money where it's not a big deal. And I absolutely love helping and doing this. But also, it's a great way for me to let people know about my speaking events, my lectures, my workshops, our hands-on training program, all done here in Raleigh, North Carolina at our 3D Dentists Training Center. So I would encourage you to take an opportunity to visit www.3d-dentists.com and see if we have anything of help for you. And if we don't, that's fine. Please take a moment to listen to our 160 free videos that we have on virtual implant planning and certainly our, at this point, 30 or 40 podcast episodes that we also have available with the transcripts available on each episode post. So thank you for allowing me to do that. So back to our regularly scheduled program today. Today we're going to be talking about insurance, not dental insurance per se, but human being insurance. And really, I want to focus on, you know, five types of insurance. One is life. Two is personal. Three is business. Four is professional. And five is long-term care. Now, this is, to me, is overall part of the bigger plan. When I talk about financial planning, personal savings, this kind of falls into that. And I know from personal experience that we are, as a dental breed, are simply not doing this well enough. So today I've invited a great friend, a great personal friend who I've known. Mark, how long have we known each other?
I think we've known each other now for about 30 years.
So we met like in fifth grade?
Yep, like in fifth grade, yeah.
So fifth grade, I grew up with Mark, and Mark is a local State Farm agent, but he's not here representing State Farm. He's not really here representing his personal business, although if you need help from him and you're in the state of North Carolina, you're certainly welcome to give him a call. And if you're from outside of state of North Carolina, you know, there's rules and things that between, you know, how policies vary from state to state, but he's always willing to give you a helping hand. As a good friend to me and as a friend to dentists, he'd be happy to do that. Mark Ingram is a great friend, and we've known each other for a long time. So anybody who can be friends with me for 30 years is probably a pretty good person.
Right.
So tell me, Mark, who are you? What do you do? And why should my listeners know you?
Okay. Your listeners should know me because we go above and beyond, as you do, when we're looking at insurance for not just professionals such as dentists, but any individual, any walk of life. Everyone, unfortunately, has to have some form of insurance.
And I hate that, by the way.
Right. They have to have insurance part. A lot of us hate it. Even what I do for a living, I still do not like having to have insurance. But it is a very important topic. And we try to educate all of our clients to the best of our ability so they know what they're paying for and what all the insurance covers for them. So they're not left in the dark.
So, Mark, here's my first question for you, okay, on that level. So what you're saying is what differentiates you from other agents, and you're not saying negative or positive things about other agents, is that it's the level of service that you provide.
Correct. The service that we give, everyone in my office, we actually give out our own cell phone numbers so that you can contact us day or night, depending on what your need may be.
Mark, I've contacted you at night before.
You have. Recently, actually, you've contacted me at night, and we give an answer of what you need to know. But
sometimes I've contacted you at night for other things.
You have contacted me at night for other things, and we will not go into any of that. But yes, we actually try to provide a service to everyone because I feel that what sets us apart from most other insurance companies that are out there, what my office does is we will come to you, sit down with you, explain all the coverage, and actually explain what some of these costs are and why they're, in a lot of people's opinion, so high.
Now, so my question earlier that I never got to is because I have ADD, you know, squirrel, right? So if I'm buying insurance from XYZ company,
right,
State Farm, Allstate, whoever it may be,
right,
okay? Is the policy cost different whether I buy it from you or buy it from the dude, like literally the block down from me?
The policy cost will differ depending on what company, because every company is
I'm saying A to A, like State Farm Mark versus State Farm.
No.
You know, Zebra.
Right. State Farm A, State Farm B, Nationwide A, Nationwide B, Insurance A, Insurance B. If it's the same company, you should have the exact same price.
So I don't save money or spend more money by working with you?
No, you don't. No.
Okay, compared to the dude I used to buy it from, literally the block over.
Correct.
Yeah. So, all right. So, well, let's get into this a little bit, and let's talk about this, because honestly, I am anti-insurance, and Mark knows this. He'll come over to my house, and he'll be talking about some new thing, and, you know, he's never trying to sell me. I don't think you're trying to sell me anything. I think you're just trying to get me irritated, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, trying to educate T-Bone is very difficult.
That's not educating. That's irritating me. Like why I need this and that. So let's start with the most basic of all insurance policies. And even I believe you have to have this. I think you got to have life insurance.
Okay.
Are there different types of life insurance? And Talk to our listeners about life insurance.
Well, there's several different types of life insurance, but it all boils down to two really simple types. One is called whole life insurance, which in my industry we call permanent insurance,
okay,
because as long as you pay that bill, you will have that insurance. And the other form is term insurance, which is a lot less expensive than whole life, and more people have term because of the price. But term is exactly what it says. It is there for a term. So, for example, it's there for 20 years. $1 million policy for 20 years on Mr. A or Mrs. B is there for 20 years. At that 20 years, it normally will automatically renew, but it will obviously send you something in the mail, let you know what your new premium will be for the next 20 years.
Does whole policy premiums vary from year to year?
No, whole policy premium stays level the entire time.
So you lock in a rate the time you buy it.
Yeah. So if you're 25 years old, 35 years old, you lock in a whole life policy today. When you're 99, you will be paying the exact same amount as you are
today. Obviously, the insurance companies are very smart Indian mathematicians working for them. You know, You know, all the mathematicians are Asian, by the way, right? So they figure out, they know the risk factors, and certainly right. they factor in that. Now, what about term insurance? Is the rate change on term insurance from year to year?
It depends on the policy. If you have...
Generally speaking.
No, it doesn't. It will change within that term period at the end of it. So if it's 5 years, it will change at five.
So it locks in kind of for 5 years, right. 10 years, whatever right. it is. Now, how does one determine whether they need whole or term insurance?
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
That is a personal preference on what you need. A lot of people feel that they need something small for whole life, depending on their life circumstances, that maybe when they're older, they'll have this whole life policy. And a lot of times term is used while we're in our prime because in our prime, we have more debt. So a lot of people purchase term insurance to take care of that part.
You know what you just made me think of?
Oh, I saw you laugh and I hate to ask.
I was thinking about that song from, I can't remember the country singers. I'm not as good as I once was. When you talked about me being in my prime, I think like I'm past my prime now. I'm not as good as I once was.
That's left up
Come
to
on,
the individual.
Mark, I can barely get up after I eat, dude.
So maybe you would have been someone who would really benefit from a term, and maybe it's coming to a close within the next 10 years. That type of thing is what term insurance will do.
So for me personally, I have term life insurance. I'm personally not, and listen, my advice is about me and my cultural upbringings and how I saw my parents live, and they're still living, knock on wood, but my dad doesn't even have any life insurance at all, and which is interesting. But I personally only have term life insurance, and I don't have any whole insurance. I don't believe in whole insurance. How do you make you say up to my preference? I've come to you, Mark, as an advisor. Mm-hmm. And by the way, just let me talk about that for a second. I don't look at an insurance person as my agent or as my a salesperson who sells me something. You know, I look at you as one of my team members, as my one of my financial health advisors, because insurance is part of your overall financial health. Because if something were to happen to me, I've got a lot of liabilities,
right?
You know, and I need that. You know, I haven't saved enough money to cover all my liabilities. Otherwise, I wouldn't have liabilities, for God's sakes. So you know, I think of that insurance agent as a team member, part of my overall financial team. For me personally, that's my insurance agent, that's my accountant, and that's my certified financial planner.
Right.
So to me, those are the three team members I have, and a lawyer, actually. I would say that to me, that's part of my certified financial planner to a certain degree. But I would say I have those four members of my financial or my life team.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for being part of my life team.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to do so.
I mean, for 30 years.
For 30 years.
All right. So how do I determine, if I came to you, Mark, mm-hmm. and I said to you, just sell me. I mean, I always use the
right.
term sell me.
On it. I understand.
Just, talk to me about that.
So explain to you, if I came to you and said, what are you doing for life insurance? And you, for example, said, I don't have any life insurance. I don't really believe in life insurance. Well, from my standpoint, we're going to ask you a couple questions. We're going to look at maybe determine what we call a life needs analysis.
Okay. What does that mean?
We're going to look at, number one, what debt do you have that would need to be paid off?
So if I were to die today, I would have the debts in the following areas. I have a home
mm-hmm.
that I haven't sold yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have the home I'm living in.
Right.
I have my business real estate.
Right.
And then, you know, I have my car.
Right.
And then I have, you know, most dentists may have some practice loan.
Right.
Or some, you know, practice equipment.
Right. School loans.
Student debt. So all of these liabilities.
Right.
That what I would say, let's say in my life, that adds up to be somewhere in the $4 million ballpark.
Okay. And then you throw in on top of that, kids, college.
How if I'm dead, I don't care about them.
Right. Well, a lot of people might say that also when I ask, well, what would your spouse do?
I don't care about, I definitely don't care about her. No, in all seriousness, I do. Right. Those of you that know my wife, Mona, you know, I care for her deeply. And it's amazing that just like Mark has been with me for 30 years, it's amazing that Mona's lived with me for 15 years.
Wow. Bless her
heart. Yeah. So when you say that about kids, what do you mean by that? Do I like want to leave money for them?
You could want to leave money for them, or you could say, well, if I'm gone, I want their college to be paid for. I don't want anyone else to have
it. Is that the more common thing?
That is the more common thing.
Okay. So let's call that another $250,000.
Okay.
Okay. Because I've been saving money for them.
Okay.
And we have a plan to fully fund it. We're close to fully funding
it. Right.
And so let's call it $250,000, because I want, you know, my kids are Indians, so they're going to go to like graduate school and stuff.
So then you look at, we're taking T-Bone's life here, and his wife is a physician.
But she wants to live an easy street.
Right. So say she's like, well, T-Bone's gone. I'm not going to practice anymore. I'm just too depressed. So, well, how much money do we want his wife to have to continue her lifestyle?
So I got to cover that too.
You have to cover that too.
All right, so let's call all of that $5
million. So $5
million. First, so $5 million on my death pays off all my liabilities.
Yes.
Makes my, you know, makes my wife and kids have a place to live. I hope they don't bring a second husband in or something, you know. I mean, that would really make me angry. So, you know, I have a place to live and all the debts are paid off. And then I paid for my kids' college education.
Now that you've rolled all that up, the first thing you need to do, and I believe this is why T-Bone says, make sure whoever you're utilizing for your insurance is a trusted advisor. Because the first thing that I'm going to tell him on $5 million is, let's take a second look. Are we sure your spouse is not going to work? Let's look at the debt you have. Is there any way some of your own money can maybe pay some of the debt off that you have? Because the higher you start going, just like with anything else,
the premium's
going to go up. So the job is not to necessarily say, yeah, you need $5 million. Let's get it. How long do you want it? Let's get your term. Do you want it for whole? That's really where we go. That's a third step.
Well, that's where you become a salesperson, right?
That's when you're just trying to get a sale and move on.
And, you know, the other thing I was going to say on this is X number of years, but as an agent, as part of my team, you know, four or five years, right?
Right.
So that number has changed for me.
Oh, it has.
Because my life has changed, right? My income has gone up. I've paid off certain debts that I don't have. I've added a house that I'm hoping I don't have another one soon, right? You know, so that to me is, again, why you're part of my team. Just like, you know, I know we're going to get into auto in a little bit, but I went and bought a new car just a month ago,
right?
I mean, the first person I call Mark, said, hey, Mark, dude, I'm getting rid of one car and adding another car.
Right.
What do you need? And you're like, hey, I need a VIN. I'm like, dude, I don't write that number down. I'll take a picture of it for you.
You send it on.
I'll text you the picture, right?
Right.
So your needs change. But I want to get into that a little bit later. Okay.
Right.
So now you've determined that I need $5 million.
Right.
Say I'm dead ass broke. I've saved no money.
Dead ass broke, save no money. You need $5 million. And then I say, how long would you like to be insured for? Because these are yours. These are your answers. And oftentimes I do it with a spouse. Well, how long? And so T-Bone is 41.
Do you get a lot of people that say, I'm never going to die?
I get a lot of people saying, I don't really care what happens. I have people say, on a serious note, my wife will marry someone else. I'm saying this. And there's, well, my kids get scholarships.
You know, it's interesting. The only reason, honestly, I grew up with my dad who never bought life insurance and to this day didn't have life insurance. The only reason I bought life insurance is because the bank made me.
Right. Because the bank's smart. They want to make sure they get their money.
Yeah, because when I first opened my practice and I first bought my building, we're talking, you know, my first building was only $250,000.
Right.
I mean, so the bank made me get a $250,000 policy. So the only reason I got it, and I got it for literally the 15-year term that my note was, because the bank made me get that.
And that's actually, a lot of people say, why are they making me do that? Well, they're obviously, you know, reinsuring that loan. They want to make sure if something would happen to you, they're going to get their money.
Yeah, so and they made me make them the primary or beneficiary. I don't understand that.
You're absolutely right. And that happens all the time. I mean, anybody go buy a car, do whatever, someone's going to ask them, oh, would you like us to go ahead and give you life insurance with this? Now, that can be a sales pitch. A car that you're going to purchase is a little ridiculous, I believe, to get life insurance for 5 years or 4 years. That's a bit much. But when you're buying a, you know, $300,000 plus home, business, and the bank is wanting to make sure that they're going to get their money, that's why it's important to get it. A lot of people like to look at it like T-Bone's looking at it as, this is, why are you want to insure me? I don't believe in life insurance. Well, it's not up to you in that instance.
No, because I'm taking their money.
Right. So they're saying you're going to get it because you want our money.
Right.
And on the other side is, who's going to pay those debts if you were to die and you've got the homes and the practice and the building? You've got all these things rolled up. Who's going to pay for that?
Okay. So now the question is, we've determined how much I need.
Right.
Now we need to decide what I want.
Right.
Now for me, it's easy.
Right.
I want the cheapest. I shouldn't, again, but you know, but
I go all right.
Right, exactly. T-Bone, 30 years, I haven't changed, okay? You know, I when I say the cheapest, I don't mean like cut rate policy, cut rate insurance company. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want the least expensive version. So I don't want whole insurance because whole costs four, five times six. I don't know the number exactly.
Oh, $4 or $5 million for a whole life is going to cost you a couple thousand dollars. Absolutely.
A month.
Right. A month.
I would say probably more than that, but that's...
No, it's about right. It's about right. Just a couple
thousand. And then, you know, a term policy like that might cost $200, $300, $400?
About $500.
Okay. So we're talking 5x.
Right.
Right. So, you know, why would I want to pay something I don't believe in? Why would I want term? So now let's say you don't want to argue with me about term versus whole.
Right.
Now, what's the next question?
So now you say, okay, term. And we say, okay, well, you're comfortable with term. How long do you want this term for? You're 41.
How old am I? I'm let's say I'm 30 when I do this.
Okay. So okay. I would definitely say get it. How long do you plan on working?
Till I drop dead.
So for let's see.
The way I look, probably another 10 years.
For someone who works as hard as T-Bone here, we'd say, let's say...
60.
So 30 more years, he would get a term policy for 30 years. And at the end of that 30 years, let's hope that all of his debt is paid for or close to being paid for. So if he is retiring out, selling his practice, that's debt gone that should have already been paid for.
Right. And you bring up the point that I want to get to is that, again, this number should change.
It
does. Like, I'm accelerating my paybacks on all my properties, right? So in theory, I only want life insurance to insure the unexpected or untimely death of me. I don't want to insure me at 90.
No.
Because if I have a good financial plan in place, when I'm 90, I should have all the money in the world.
Right.
That I've already paid my debts and I've got money and I've already paid for my kids and I've secured their future or my grandkids' future at that point. So why would I need life insurance at that point?
At that point,
I might need it for taxes.
Maybe. But
you for
estate planning and things such as that. But for what you're looking at in your example for you, that is perfect. But then we have to look at the other percent of the population
The other 80% of the population.
Right, who's not where you are. And so you have to look at how are they saying, well, I don't think I'm going to be financially secure at 60 or 70.
Then they need longer term
insurance. Right, they need longer term insurance. And then those types of people, you start getting into whole life.
Right. When you start looking at 30, 40, 50 years, you might as well at that point look at whole policies.
Right. And the benefits are different for loans and cash values and things like that when you're looking at whole life.
So sell me on in a few minutes.
Sure.
Okay. So we can end up life insurance here.
Okay.
When would you recommend to our listeners a whole policy?
A whole policy, 30 years of age and below is where I would really recommend someone getting it because it's cost effective at that point.
Okay.
Over 30, depending on where you see yourself at age 60, should you get a whole life is what we would have to discuss. If you have a solid financial plan and you're going in the right direction, term is going to be perfect for you. But if not, you need to lock in something and something as early as possible for whole life.
So now when you talk about whole, you mentioned a word that I don't think I completely understood until I got married. The word cash value.
Cash value.
So when you buy a whole policy, there's actually a cash value to that policy. And the reason I bring this up is because when I got married, I inherited a wife.
Mm-hmm.
I inherited a Mona, and she came with a whole policy that her parents had bought her at a very young age. Mm-hmm. That at the time was a lot of money. It's $1 million.
Right.
Okay. And it has a cash value to it. So what does that mean?
That means that you can cash in that policy and not pay premiums anymore, and you will get the value of the policy. Because as you know, insurance policies, when you pay your premium per month, some of it's going to be invested, and some of it is actually paying for the cost of that insurance, the administrative fees. Right. And so that money, they bring it back to you. And a lot of people just kind of roll that value back up into the policy, and it builds over time. And so that cash value, you can say, for $1 million policy, not sure. I know what you're talking about. Can't remember what a cash value was on that. But let's say it's $200,000. Well, if you're wanting to buy a building for your practice, and you're going to
borrow against
you
that.
You could borrow against
or
that,
you could
cash it out, right?
Yeah. Or in our case, when we looked at that policy, it was written so long ago, and the times and the rules and the rates, it was actually less expensive for us to term that out.
Okay.
You know, for me, I want to go into a term policy, right?
Right.
So I believe that I want that $120,000 now in my hand that I can invest and do better with. I'm not going to go buy things with
right.
it, but I can invest and do better with it. But there's a cash value. So the analogy I use, when you buy a whole policy, you're paying 4 or 5X.
Right.
Okay. 1X of that 4 or 5X goes to pay the term version
correct.
Of that policy. And 3 or 4X of it is an investment,
you
let's
say. Right.
And then in our case, if we chose cancel our whole policy, we could technically keep that policy and never pay a premium again.
Correct.
Because they would just draw against our
cash value.
They would
draw from it. Correct.
And then I would still have that $1 million policy
correct.
Without ever paying for it.
That's something called automatic loan provision that built into permanent
right.
policy. So that would just pay the premium for you until forever.
All right. So what I'm hearing is the first step is, number one, everybody needs life insurance.
Everybody needs some okay. form of, right.
You know, at the end of the day, whether you're young, you need it a little bit, okay?
Right.
Whether you're at my age in the quote-unquote prime of your career,
there
not
you
as good as I once was.
There you go.
Okay. I think that's Keith Urban. No, it's not Keith Urban. It's one of those country dudes.
You got to make me look it up.
I don't. That's just sad that I don't even know. It's one of those white country dudes, right?
Ah.
Okay, so in the prime of your career, you probably need the most.
Right.
Okay. And then even when I look at my parents or my in-laws, they need life insurance now because when you invest well and you do those things right, you develop a sizable estate.
That's right.
Whether that's millions of dollars or even if that's, you know, anything above 4 or 5 million, now you're suddenly outside of the range where it's tax-free and now you got to start paying taxes on it. And I don't want to be left with that burden.
Correct. So right? life insurance will pay
so now
that
we can get
you.
Enough insurance to, you know, ultimately offset.
Absolutely. It will take care of any of those taxes. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So ultimately, you always need insurance.
And one thing I kind of failed to mention with the life insurance and where it would work, because I know the audience is a lot of dentists.
I mean, I hope it's all dental professionals.
It's all dental professionals. A lot of you have partners. So you need to look at a buy-sell agreement. If you were to die, that your life insurance, someone could actually buy your portion of the practice and give it to your spouse or so on and so forth. So that's something key that you need to definitely talk to your insurance professional about. Is a buy-sell agreement if you have a partner, because someone's got to buy your portion out if you were to pass away.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
So, you know, my other comments on life insurance is, one, everybody needs it. Two, you need to determine on a regular basis. And what would you define regular basis? Yearly?
For life insurance?
Yeah.
You probably need to reevaluate every 3 to 5 years on that.
Okay. So, or when you have big purchases.
Right.
You know, like I just bought a house a year and a half ago.
So you need to reevaluate.
Yeah. So when you have major purchases, like homes and things like that.
A baby. A marriage, a new business, a large purchase of property. Any of those things is when you need to start look or bring on a partner. That's when you need to kind of reevaluate your life insurance needs.
Yeah. So, you know, those are the times to look at that, determine how much you need, and then determine whether you want a term or a whole policy. Obviously, as agents, they want to put you guys on whole policies.
Well, I will say that. I understand what T-Bone is saying. If you have a good agent or insurance professional,
part of your financial team.
They're not going to steer you in one direction or the other.
They should not.
And if they are, they're trying to sell you.
Right.
And that is not the job is.
That's what I give the whole industry a bad name.
It does. Absolutely. I mean
that's your number one battle is dealing with people, jerks that try to sell people things they don't really need.
You asked me when we opened earlier, what's one thing, you know, what sets us apart? And I think it's our honesty. And we're going to be brutally honest with you. And it doesn't.
In a good and bad way.
If you have a claim and you ask, well, how's this going to affect us? If it's going to affect you, it's going to affect you negatively. We're going to tell you that. And anybody who tries to, you know, put sugar on top of things and not, they're just trying to sell you something so you don't leave them. And that's not what you want.
All right. So now we've beat life insurance to death. So let's move on to personal insurance. Now on the personal insurance and our show planning notes, we wrote down home. Okay. So this is insuring your home, your auto. In other words, insuring your car. We wrote down poop.
P-U-P. Personal umbrella policy.
Okay, so personal umbrella policy. We wrote down PAP.
Right, that's a personal articles policy.
Okay, and then we talked about health, which is, you know, your medical
health
insurance basically,
right.
Okay? So let's get health. Let's briefly, number one, State Farm doesn't sell health insurance, correct?
In the state of North Carolina right now, we're not.
Okay.
But in other states, we do.
But ultimately, that's part of your health insurance is probably the number one expense that really puts people in financial trouble.
Absolutely, it is.
So, listen, I'm a big believer in health savings accounts. I don't know if those under Obamacare, those are still allowed. I have one.
They are.
And I think what happens is ultimately, I want us all to get it to a financial state where you're just insuring catastrophes.
Right.
And so for me, for example, we have a family policy that has a $10,000,
$15,000
deductible. And so I pay up to the first $10,000, and then I have an insurance, a health insurance, medical insurance policy, basically, that pays 100% after that. And that policy is pretty inexpensive.
Right.
There's some tax benefits to having that. And then in my eyes, at this stage of my life, certainly 15 years ago, this didn't make sense, right? But maybe even 10 years ago, didn't make as much sense. But today, I'm more than comfortable and capable of stroking a check for $10,000 for any major issues. But then when I start getting to $100,000, $200,000, $300,000,
right, that's when we start getting.
Yeah, that's what I need insurance for. So I'm a big believer in high deductible health savings account plans. So let's leave it at that because health insurance is a whole new ball game.
All I'll say is you need it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
everybody.
My biggest thing.
Well, I think it's the law now, right?
It is the law, but you need it. And a lot of people want to fight and fuss about it. But just take the time and deal with the headache and talk to your insurance professional about it. And so many options. And just get what really suits you.
All right, let's talk about home insurance.
Okay, let's talk about it.
So tell me, do I have to have a home insurance?
Actually, if you own your home right out, you do not have to have it. Most people have home insurance because it's required by the mortgage company.
Okay.
And oftentimes, I ask everybody, how much did you pay for the house? And I say, $550,000. Well, how much was the land with the house? And they'll say $300,000 or $250,000, whatever the case may be. Well, what are you really insuring when you're insuring?
In other words, if you had a fire or a flood, the land is still going to be
there. The land is still there.
I mean, unless you live on the California coast.
Correct. It might fall into the sea. So that is what we look at. I know, the California folks, but that is what you have to look at. If you have $1 million home. So you have $1 million home.
It's not really $1 million home. The home itself is probably $800,000.
Right.
And the dirt is probably $200,000.
Right.
So you really don't need to insure $1 million. You need to insure $800,000.
Correct. Because in most policies, there's something called 25% additional amount of insurance in your homeowners. And a lot of people don't know. You buy a house for $1 million. Mortgage company says, we need to get with your insurance professional. Send us over your declarations page saying you have insurance on the house. Well, a lot of people want to come back and say, well, it doesn't say $1 million on here. It has to say $1 million. No, it does not. It has to say, let's say in this example, $800,000, additional amount, 25%. That goes on top of that $800,000 if something were to happen to the home, because you cannot replace the land. And I've went toe-to-toe with several mortgage companies about that and making sure that we're insuring the home properly.
And why is that important to get that right? Is it
because you're overpaying.
Premium.
It's premium. You're overpaying.
I mean, so your premium is directly related, ultimately many factors, but the cost of the amount that you're insuring.
The amount of your insuring and your deductible and your location is what you're looking at. And obviously the rates that company set, so on and so forth. But what you're looking at, if you ever have that question, why did my insurance go up? Well, why'd your light bill go up? Why did anything go up? Why did milk
just
go up?
Just use more of it.
You use more of it, or everything goes up. I mean, milk 3 years ago was less than it is today. So when you're looking at your homeowners, you need to look at how much your home is insured for, what is your premium, and what is the location? Because now the entire country, I believe, has went to something now where your fire districts are automatically updated, and that can determine the premium going from several hundred dollars to several thousand dollars. It all depends on where you live.
Okay. So what are the common mistakes that people make in most homeowners policies?
The common mistake.
Or common areas where they're getting screwed.
Common areas where they're getting screwed is they do not know when to file a claim.
Well, give me what do you mean by that?
Okay. You have a homeowner's and your deductible is $2,500, let's say.
Okay.
Well, your roof is leaking. They pick up the phone right away and they call 1-800-INSURANCE. Insurance. And they say, I want to file a claim. No one says a word about anything. Okay, we'll file the claim for you, Mr. T-Bone, Ms. T-Bone. Here you go. You just filed the claim. And then as you sit in bed that night, you say, I wonder if that's going to affect my insurance. Why didn't you contact someone? Why didn't you contact someone and ask about how much this is going to cost? Because in reality, that claim you just filed is going to cost maybe $1,500 to fix.
Yeah, it's going to go to deduct.
Right. So you just file the claim that's going to go on you for your next renewal. If you haven't been with the company long, it's going to go on there now and you're going to call that renewal. Why did it go up? And that is why
you had a claim that even didn't cost you something.
Right.
But it's still a claim. In other words, you're a higher risk.
Right. Right. A claim is a claim regardless if it pays or not.
I got you.
And that is what a lot of people don't know. I mean, we'll get into auto. But how many times has that happened? People call and say, yeah, it was a little fender bender. No one paid anything. Me and the guy, we kind of just went our separate ways. But then you say, well, yeah, the state trooper came or the police came and we exchanged insurance, but nothing was paid. Well, guess what you just did? You just filed
incident.
A claim.
You had an right. incident, right?
And so it's all about the risk. It's all about evaluating your risk.
What kind of thing should I be making sure like I have in my home insurance?
On your home insurance, you should definitely... I believe these days you have identity restoration, which is a simple endorsement, very simple, maybe $20, $30 a month. Not really sure. Depends on who you're with and where you're located. But identity restoration with things going on, you know, with breaches, I think my bank has been
so
breached.
Somebody tries to steal T-Bone, my identity.
Well, you know, we might just kind of write that off and say, wonderful. But no, all seriousness, that's actually a claimable, if that's even a word, that's an event that you can make a claim for.
Okay. You're talking about like somebody gets a credit card under my name and stuff like that?
Right. And starts being another T-Bone.
Isn't there a company on the TV I see?
LifeLock.
LifeLock, yeah.
Right. Or you can pay LifeLock. Sure.
So I don't have to pay LifeLock?
You don't have to pay LifeLock, but you want to look at the difference between what you get with LifeLock because they obviously specialize in it.
Right.
And what you get with your insurance company for that. Identity restoration is pretty new.
You're totally biased in a certain way, okay? Would you recommend me, T-Bone, asking you now I'm having a real life here, should I cancel my LifeLock and do this through you or should I keep my LifeLock?
I would keep my LifeLock.
Okay.
I would keep my LifeLock. But if you are someone who doesn't have a LifeLock or any of those types of companies, definitely go ahead and put identity restoration. You won't even notice it in your premium.
What about flood insurance?
Flood insurance, you have to be in a flood zone to get flood insurance. And there's a flood map determining elevation.
So that's not even determined by you, the agent?
No, that's not.
Or you, the company.
No.
That's the government determines.
Right. If if you're buying a home, like your home you all just bought recently, if that was in a flood zone.
I wouldn't have bought it.
You wouldn't have bought it, but the mortgage company would have told you because they're legally liable to tell you. Right. They have to say it is in a flood zone. So when you give that insurance quote to the mortgage, you have to give the flood width.
You know, an interesting thing happened to me that drove me nuts. Okay. This is before you. Okay. I have a mortgage, right? and they have these things where they automatically put you into a home policy if you don't send them a declaration page. And dude, that stuff is expensive.
Well, that's called forced place insurance. That is you, the way the mortgage company looks at it. We told you when you bought the house, you need to provide us with your declarations page. Which
but
is
you got to send it to them every year.
No, it's automatic.
Well, something happened with mine.
Depends on the insurance company you're with. So, yeah.
Well, that hasn't happened right. since you've been there.
Right. Because what I believe with this home, your mortgage broker contacted us.
Right.
And every insurance company normally, and a lot of you all out here have what we call independent agents, which they're responsible in their little office mailing out all of your declarations pages, which can be a taunting task.
Right.
If you have a...
Especially if you have different insurance
absolutely.
Companies.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for us, it's automated. When your policy renews, your mortgage company gets a copy of it automatically. Now, they might not open the mail and they might call us and say, can you send us a new one, which we're happy to do. But that should be something that's automated.
Dude, that was outrageously expensive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's 4 or 5 times more than what you normally would pay.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, a lot of us. So my pearl here on this one is a lot of us have automated mortgage payments like I do.
Right.
And they take my mortgage payments automatically. And a lot of us get into a set it and forget it mode. And, you know, sometimes we're fortunate that we have enough income where we don't really check on a regular basis what's going on.
Right.
And I just randomly checked and my mortgage had gone up like $1,000 a month because I was put into one of these policies you're saying, and I didn't notice it for a few months, right?
Because what happens is all of you guys are busy. In this profession, you're busy. You're being tugged from every which way. And your insurance is something you shouldn't be worrying about. Getting that, I mean, that's money going out the window. And then you're now responsible for contacting somehow during your practice day. You're responsible for calling your insurance company and saying, can you send this? Can you do this? Because if you have any staff member in your office call, they're going to say, I'm sorry, we can't talk to them. So this is, it saves time. Have it automated. Talk to your insurance professional and just ask the question on your next insurance checkup. What's going on with my homeowners? Is it okay? I have another professional in the same profession who this was happening to, and he was paying so much money that, I mean, he could have bought a house for after years of having it, but just never checked it.
So always check your mortgage statement to make sure that you're not put into one of those forced policies. All right, so auto insurance. So this is just car insurance.
Right? Just regular car insurance. Now, since this is broadcasting nationwide, the different states have different rules and regulations, so we're going to be pretty generic in what we're talking about because some are no-fault states.
What do I need ultimately? Auto insurance is pretty simple. There's Geico, obviously State Farm, all these companies.
The number one thing that we hear when anyone calls our office or comes in is, I just want the cheapest thing you have. That is a red flag. That's like coming into your office and
you want the cheapest crown, crown I can do.
I want the cheapest thing you can do to my mouth. And we all kind of would chuckle at that and go, really? So it works the same way. The cheapest thing that we can give you, just get your
liability.
Car on the road. That's it.
Liability insurance.
And most of you guys do pretty well for yourself, so you're going to have a lot of liability, and people are going to see you coming, and you're saying, well, how does this associate with our auto insurance? Hit someone, and you'll find out. Because if you hit someone, they're going to say, my back, my neck, my this. Oh, I'm out of work for 3 months. Now they're going to try to sue you, and this all comes from your auto insurance. So any professional should have the minimum required limits that will qualify them for a personal liability umbrella policy.
So that goes into a poop.
Yep. plup.
So let me kind of break that down. So what you're saying, Mark, is I'm going to drive my Tesla, an expensive car.
Right.
You know, ding, 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 flash, flash, flash.
Right.
You know, hey, Dr. T-Bone, hit me. Oh, my neck hurts.
Yes.
And I have a limitation.
Yes.
So you have, what kind of limitation?
You have 250 bodily injury right now.
Okay. So I have $250,000. So when this guy sues me, he's going to see money, money, money bags.
Right. Number one, he's going to see the car and say, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I need to sue this guy for millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then your estate farm is going to say, well, we'll cover up to 250.
We'll cover the 250. And you're going to say, well, you're suing me for 500. Where is that other is going to come from? The other part is going to come from pocket. It's coming from your pocket, which that's not fair because you pay for insurance. Right. So we don't want that.
But I only pay for $250 of insurance.
You're only, right. But you're
on my standard auto. I mean, it may be million, it may be whatever it is.
Right.
But this leads into the personal umbrella policy.
Correct.
Now, this is where, as a high net worth individual or a you know, somebody that might get sued for a lot of money.
Right.
You know, like in other words, if Bill Gates hit me, you better believe my arm's going to hurt. My whole body's going to hurt. Right.
Right. That's what most people say. Yeah, and we see it all the time.
Yeah. So now I need an umbrella policy.
Right. The umbrella will cover above the $250,000.
$1 million or whatever the number is. Right.
So you could give them for $1 million, $2 million, depending on what your need is. And that will take care of all legal expenses and whatever they're trying to get.
If I was really at fault for somebody, you would cover up to that dollar.
Correct. And that liability umbrella actually helps a attorney come up with a settlement. They can, like, you know, whatever your insurance company can actually say, okay, let's go back with this. We'll say $500,000. And you're only tapping into your umbrella now by $250,000. And that helps them, and that gives them the flexibility to come back with an offer. So say you didn't have that umbrella, and the guy's trying to sue you. That money is coming out of some asset of yours.
Right. Okay. So in other words, it's a protection policy. Who do you recommend that to within your age, you know, typically when somebody comes in?
I recommend that to anyone. I mean, actually everyone, but that's not a realistic goal setting, if you will. So actually anybody who's a professional who has the assets that could be at risk of being sued.
So in other words, typically what happens when you hit somebody, some ambulance chasing lawyer comes after them, right? And then they look at who hit you and they say, what is that person worth?
Yes.
And we're going to sue them for everything that they're worth.
Right. And they make it sound nice, like, oh, well, they're out of work or this or that. You know, they have to have all their.
So if you're worth more than your liability, your limit on your auto insurance,
right.
Like in other words, if you're worth more than $250,000,
you're paying.
Then you need a personal umbrella.
Absolutely. You need an umbrella. And I can't imagine any dental professional that doesn't have this
or needs
auto.
That.
Or yeah, needs is absolutely right.
And you're talking pennies here.
This is, since this is national, I mean, I think you pay less than, I'm sure you pay less than $150 a year for that. Sure.
Right, a year.
A year.
Yeah, so we're talking $10, $12 a month
right.
to have millions of dollars
right.
of coverage to cover me above and beyond.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's good.
Oh, I think it's fabulous.
So dirt cheap. Like, so even in my language, that's okay.
Right, right.
So Mark, you can get me for the $150, dude. It's almost like you're taking the money, but the truth is you get a small percentage of that anyway.
Right, I'm sure we do, yeah. I mean, everything's for insurance is a commission-based type of
sale. You got a family to
feed. Right, I got to feed my family, man. Right. Oh, and I'm going to do it on the plup.
You're going to do it on the plup, right? All right, that brings us into the PAP, the personal articles policy.
And personal articles policy, T-Bone's really familiar with this one over here.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
So I know you probably can't or you're uncomfortable. So recently, we all keep a little bit of money for like a rainy day. And over the years, I've accumulated a decent amount of cash money in my home. And what the stupid mistake I made is I put it all in one spot in a drawer. Okay. And on top of this, since I got my iWatch, okay, my Apple Watch, my $250 Apple Watch, I put away my very fancy watch and I, like a dum-dum, like a dumb crap, put it in the same bag that I put all my cash money in. And then my wife, unbeknownst to me, and not maliciously certainly, had had a new desk made or bought me a new desk for the house. And the movers moved my old desk, and then suddenly my money bag and watch bag was no longer there.
Mysterious disappearance.
Mysterious
right?
disappearance. And so I called my insurance company, just asking questions about this. And I was informed that I do not have a PAP policy, and that if I had a PAP policy, this loss would have been covered.
He's absolutely right, and.
So this, I would say, and this is not anything on Mark, because Mark has talked to me about this, and I've just simply said, I don't want any more, like my blanket statement is, I don't want any more insurance.
Which I can't blame you. I mean, being in your profession, you have a lot of insurance.
I got a boatload of insurance.
Right. But this one here, as we all know in life, for all of us, as we do well, we seem to purchase better things.
And this is one of those things that you have got to reevaluate yourself on. Now, I'm speaking from personal experience here. And I don't want to say the amount of money because A, I don't want to say it. And B, it's unbelievably embarrassing. Okay?
And if someone's listening to this podcast, they might kind of put two and two together.
Yeah. So these numbers change year to year. And just like with life insurance, where you do it at big purchase points, these are things that you need to insure at big purchase. So how does this policy work? What does it cover?
Now, personal articles policy, a lot of people say, let's just start with jewelry, which is the most common right. that people talk about. Well, it's covered on my homeowners. Yes, it is, but up to, depending on your state, $1,500, $2,500, depending on your state and where you are. But most people's jewelry, I mean, really, if you're going to buy your wife a diamond ring, it's going to cost more than, say, the max of $2,500.
Mine costs $350. It's cubic zirconia.
There you go. There. Well, you don't need one for that. That's good. That's good. But if you're having some, if you have real jewelry, real watches and things like that, you're going to want to, at time you get it, when you take that sales receipt or that appraisal that comes with it and you give it to your insurance professional so they can do this policy. T-Bone and I were talking today about this because this is a recent event for him. This would have cost him $500 a year. And we won't say what the amount was on that, but he just kind of looked at me and his lovely wife was there and she just looked and said, "You've got to be kidding me." So now this is one thing you do. Because we're talking about insurance,
a significant amount of money.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I mean,
this $500 a year isn't insuring $10,000.
No. It's well above $10,000. So this right here will pay for itself. Even myself, one of my wife's diamond rings were gone. And we don't know what happened to it. We think one of our kids kind of thought it was cute and gave it to his little girlfriend, you know, in like elementary school. And we think that was mysterious disappearance, what they call it in an insurance company. And you file a claim and they give you the money for it or you can replace it.
But you have to have proof that you own this.
You actually have to have proof that you own it. And oftentimes that's pictures and that is an appraisal within the last year. So if you or your spouse are buying any type of jewelry, or a lot of people do camera equipment, golf clubs, if you're any of you guys are horseback riders, I can't even say the word, I can't even get it out.
Equestrian.
Yeah. Any of you guys are out there, your saddles, things like that. All of those things are something that you need to
ensure your drone.
Drones are, no, that's part of your personal property house.
Okay.
But any of this stuff like...
My fancy old school typewriter from the 1800s?
Sure. That's an antique. So make sure you have it appraised appropriately. Send it in. It takes 5 minutes for your insurance professional to put that in the system. They'll add it to your monthly bill or they'll send you a bill for it. It's well worth it because when you need to make that claim, like when we talked about that night on text, I had more than "you got to be kidding me" as what I wanted to say. But that is something that you really need.
Does this stuff have to be in a safe to be insured?
That was my next point. It does not have to be in a safe, but if it is of significant value, it should be in a safe. So, and your rate on that, we're not talking about a lot of money as it is, but the rate can go down if it's in a safe or safe deposit box. Any of that stuff. So please, I beg all of you, this is very important, near and dear. A lot of you guys have spouses that have nice jewelry.
I mean, this event, which happened in the last month.
It's going to set you back.
Well, yeah, mentally more than, you know, knock on wood, mentally more than financially,
right.
It's going to set me back.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
But it was the precipice for us having this conversation and
doing
the podcast because it blew my mind. I said no to this and they came back to bite me.
And cash, everyone. I mean,
quite honestly, Mark, you should have twisted my hand.
I probably should. I should have talked to your wife. And
you
could have
probably just put it in there and I would have never known.
See, now he's trying to get me for messing things up now. No,
I mean, that's
probably should have talked
illegal.
To your wife though. Yeah, it's illegal, obviously. But I should have talked to your wife and said, maybe we should insure y'all's jewelry. How about we do that? So
Mona's going to get all our insurance jewelry. We're going to take pictures of it. Mm-hmm. We're going to take pictures of her wearing it. We're going to go to the appraisal place
right. And
get it appraised, and then we're going to submit that to you.
That's right. And for us, I'll give it to somebody. They'll type it up.
Now, if I go buy a watch, do I just photograph the watch and the receipt and send it to you, or do
you
need to go get it appraised?
If you just purchased it, if it's over $10,000, let's have an appraisal. And you should be getting an appraisal for anything over $10,000 anyway when you purchase it. That paperwork, the authenticity paperwork comes with it.
So
just give us that.
Okay,
that will
you.
Be fine with the receipt.
In today's world, you just take a picture of this stuff.
Right, take a picture.
And text it.
Right. I mean, we did one $27,000.
And along those lines, I think
week.
These are records that we should be keeping as well.
Correct.
You know, in our cloud.
Right.
You know, in the past, used to keep those documents in the safe. Now,
yes.
Our safe is up in the cloud so that we have a backup of all this data.
Right. And so that's a whole nother data interruption we'll get into later. But personal articles, homeowners, auto, personal liability umbrella, those are things that you really want to take the time to sit with someone who knows what they're talking about, knows how to take care of you. Because any insurance that you have, it's your insurance. You're paying the premium. So it's our job, just like it's your job, to take care of our mouths. Is that a word? Mouths? Mouths? You can tell we're from T-Bone and I are from the same small town, right? But so anybody working on my mouth, I am trusting in you to do the right thing, just like you should be trusting in your guy or your gal to do the right thing for you. And it's not about trying to get you to spend more money.
It is part of me getting me to spend more money.
If you're insured right, it shouldn't be.
I'm giving you know.
They ain't giving me a hard time. That's all right.
So everybody, we were recording this episode and we intended to go about 50 minutes to an hour and we ended up going about an hour and 40 minutes. So what I'm doing now is I'm going to go ahead and cut our episode off here and I'm going to create a second episode that you can listen to. And it will be available tomorrow for those of you that are downloading this the day it comes out. And if you're downloading it more than a day after it comes out, it's available immediately. So if you want to continue to listen and learn more as we get into more business and professional and long-term and just kind of the annual review and things that you should be looking for, be sure to tune into part B or episode part two of our episode here. So again, thank you again for listening. We have some great information and I want you to tune back in to episode part two of this episode. And I want you to tune into all the episodes of T-Bone Speaks.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.